Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
The Friday edition of the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Jayon Brown will join us today at 1 o'clock, actually 1:15, as practice wraps up for the Titans. John McClain today at 12:30, and every Friday at 11 a.m., Clay Travis from Outkick the Coverage joins us, presented by thehomeloanexpert.com.
Clay, I want to start with this. I've had a chance to watch a lot of clips from your new television show on FS1, and I know you're really big into sports betting now. Mike, and this is something I'm curious about every gambler that's out there. Do you find yourself now more interested in sports like preseason NBA basketball because you're possibly going to be betting on games than you would have been before? And do you think that's good that now you're into more sports and gambling sort of opens the door for people to be into more sports? Because we've talked a lot about all the entertainment options out there where people may pick a movie or a show on Netflix over watching a regular season NBA game. But do you feel compelled to then watch more NBA regular season basketball because you're betting on it? Just the psychology of that interests me. What do you feel about that?
By far, I watch more sports because I gamble on them than I would if I were not gambling, which is why I think for all sports leagues, they should be all in on sports gambling becoming legal across the country. And it's not just me, by the way. The statistics all reflect that when you put money on a game, you not only watch more sports, you watch them for longer. Because whether or not you're going to cover can come down to the final play of a game that's been long decided. So, and they've actually done studies and found that, 30% ratings increases can occur when an over-under is in play late in the fourth quarter or whether or not a team is going to cover is in play. I mean, in the last, decade where I've been gambling regularly, or the last 15 years when I've been gambling regularly, there are hundreds of games that I would have kept on in television that I would have definitely turned off if I didn't have money on the game. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are like me. I got three young kids. It's not like I go out that often anymore, or have, like some amazing social life. It's more fun for me to have 50 or 100 bucks on a game and just kick back and have a beer sitting around at home after my kids have gone to sleep on Friday or Saturday night than it is to not. Now, and I gamble a lot more money than that now, but I don't think it even takes that much money. My thing always with gambling is like anything else, don't risk what you can't afford to lose. But if I have to choose between spending $50 on a meal or gambling $50 on a sports game that I feel like I have an idea what might happen on, I think gambling is great entertainment. Sports gambling makes me like sports more.
Clay, I know so many people are talking about the embarrassment that was the end of the McGregor match on Saturday night. And the UFC's decision to pan the cameras away from a lot of the action as it was happening. As someone who paid money for that pay-per-view, which I believe that you did, do you feel it's a responsibility on UFC to show all the action that's happening, even if it's an embarrassment to their sport?
Yes. And this is why I think allowing a league to take its, games directly to the public could be threatening, because it's a news story. What happened at the end of Khabib McGregor isn't about whether or not it makes the UFC look better. I think you have an obligation to cover it as a news story, even if it reflects poorly upon the UFC at that point. So when they pulled their cameras skyward, I was watching that, midnight or whatever it was, late at night here in Nashville, yelling at my television, by myself in my room like a crazy man, like, show us what's happening. I want to see Khabib jumping into the crowd. I want to see the replays. I want to see what exactly happened with McGregor. you've got the cameras there. I think you have an obligation to show us what is transpiring in that fight, even if it is negative for the UFC. And I think that's a danger zone in general from allowing all of the leagues and all of the teams to control their own broadcast if something bad happens. You know, like, I mean, even something that is not favorable to the team, right? Like, a replay needs to be reviewed, and suddenly the replay footage is not available because a camera guy decided not to record accurately. You know, I mean, I just think that we require and need truth and honesty in the way that our sports are covered, and we need to see the truth, warts and all, for better or worse.
Clay, I agree with you. And, you know, the UFC produces their own material, even on Fox. It's the UFC that yeah. owns all the production to that. So they're making the calls for the company. And, you know, what I don't understand about the company itself is they're in the fight game. They're in the promotion game. They will use that footage for the rematch. They will use Khabib hopping out of the octagon to jump to a guy as part of the hype to promote the next fight that will be bigger than the most purchased pay-per-view in the history of the UFC was last week. So I don't know why they don't want to show it, because they're going to show it again anyway, just like they did with McGregor throwing the dolly through the bus.
Yeah, and look, I mean, you got to give ESPN credit here. When the Malice in the Palace happened, they didn't immediately pull their cameras away from Ron Artest and not cover what was going on there. And I say ESPN, it may not have been ESPN that initially had that game. It might have been a local. Yeah, I think it was on ESPN. I think it was. But if not, it was in Detroit. It would have been the local, you know, Pistons broadcast network. But it's not owned by the Pistons. And so when bad things happened and that brawl happened, they covered it as a news story, even though it reflected very poorly on the NBA. Imagine what you would have thought if you'd been sitting at home watching that game, and when that brawl happened and those guys went into the crowd, if they had just panned to the ceiling and not shown you anything that was happening. I think you would have felt as if you were not being treated fairly as a viewer, and that is how I felt when that story happened. I felt like the UFC had an obligation to cover it. And to the guys ringside's credit, they continued to talk about it. I mean, you could hear the audio of what was going on, but I think the UFC had an obligation to show us their video feeds too.
What? How'd your house do in the hurricane?
Zero issues. We were fortunate. The eye of the hurricane came in to the east of Panama City Beach in Panama City, and we are to the west where Rosemary Beach is. So my understanding is that there were no substantial issues anywhere on the 30A beaches or down through Destin. I think partly, at least where we are, that's because they've actually done a pretty good job of building the whatever you would call it, like the sand dunes and everything else. They haven't built right up on the water's edge. And so those sand dunes provide a natural protection. And if you've been at Seaside or you've been at Destin or a lot of these other places, you have to actually walk down in order to get to the beach, which means that the storm surge is not coming directly into the homes. You got to go up, you know, 8 or 9 feet in order to get into the homes there. And the surge was not substantial enough to be able to get there. So I think that's a little bit of credit. You know, the geography helps somewhat where we are, but we had no issues. Lots of people did, and I'm going to try to do something with OutKick and raise some money for people down there, because I love the Florida Gulf Coast and we spend a lot of time there.
What's it like to monitor from afar and watch the newscast and kind of hope they show your area, but also not want to see it if it's really bad? I can imagine you're on the edge of your seats.
Yeah, I mean, the benefit of having a second home is it's not like if everything got destroyed down there, it would suck, but my family's going to be safe. You know, I've lost money before. I'll lose money again. It's kind of a risk, you know, when you buy a place in a hurricane potential alley there. I honestly was not that worried about it because, again, we're up pretty high and, you know, it's money. For better or worse, I tend to be a guy who believes, you know, money's going to come and go. And ultimately, I was just glad that we didn't have to live there. I've been through hurricanes when we've lived in the United States Virgin Islands. I've seen how devastating they are. To me, like, we're going to be fine in Nashville regardless. But I was nervous. I mean, I think you're a little bit nervous anytime a storm like that comes through. I mean, I think it's the third most powerful hurricane to ever hit. But it's not as if my family was in danger, or you know, my day to day life was going to be that impacted, even if our place got crushed down there.
Clay, were you more nervous whenever you were watching the hurricane coverage, or when your room at your home was packed full of pants that you had to try to sell?
I was more nervous, honestly. Like, I've had when I had my first condo, we got flooded, just deluge flooded, because the place above us had pipes burst. And at that time, I had almost no money. And you know, when you're standing in ankle deep water, and you're thinking to yourself, "Oh my God, like, where are we going to live? How is this going to work?" You know, that stress. That's like what, you know, real people have to go through. Losing money on pants, or losing money on gambling picks, or you know, the stock market going up and down like it has been the past couple of days, you know, yo-yoing around. I try to be kind of you know, sort of karmic about that, and not really worry about stuff like that on a day-to-day basis. As long as my family, knock on wood, is healthy, I don't get that worked up about things like that. Now, losing $50,000 in pants was not ideal. I wouldn't want to do that every year, though.
I'm going to ask Clay when we come back what he would like to see from Jeremy Pruitt the remainder of this year, or if any of this really even matters long-term for Jeremy Pruitt when we come back. But first, Clay, Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, sponsors this segment. What can you tell us about your buddy Ryan?
Well, first of all, he does an incredible job. I mean, just an incredible job at taking care of people all over the Nashville area. I'm a Nashville native. A lot of people listening either are or have been here for a long time now, or maybe you just got here. But if you're fortunate enough to have bought a home, you know that your property values have increased, because the property values in Nashville, all over the communities around Nashville, have increased as well. If you got credit card debt, and a lot of people got credit card debt, you walk down to that mailbox, you've had a lot of money built up, you don't have the money to pay it off right now, why not take advantage of the rising home value in your property that you bought, that you put your blood, sweat, and tears into, and take that stress of having credit card debt hanging over your head and kick it to the curb forever. Get a great tax-deductible mortgage with Ryan Kelly and wipe out every bit of debt that is hanging over your head at 20-plus percent interest, credit cards, student loans, whatever it may be. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com. That's thehomeloanexpert.com. And let my guy Ryan Kelly put your financial house in order.
The Titans are headed to London, and 104.5 The Zone is headed across the pond. So you don't miss a moment. Tune in all day Friday, October 19th for complete coverage from London, including the Midday 180 live from the Titans Team Pub, presented by Crown Royal and by Boost Mobile by Wireless Plus. Your home for Titans football. 104.5 The Zone.
Can't wait to get to London. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's.
Time to go hat shopping with Paul.
That's right.
Sure, yeah.
What people are asking me, hey, what are you going to do while you're in London? Well, I'm going to go tour the Tower of London. I'm going to go hat shopping with Paul. Those are my plans right now. That's all I've planned out.
Clay, do you have
We're going flying over tomorrow, by the way.
Really?
Nice head start.
Yeah.
I'm going to Chelsea, Man U. You got any betting tips?
Man, I don't know. We were talking about trying to take the boys to an EPL game, but we're flying over. First of all, I can't believe Nashville has a direct flight. I mean, that to me is incredible. So the idea as a Nashville native to be able to get to the airport and get on a plane, and the next time I will get off, I will be in England, is like mind-blowing to me. Like, I am still just kind of in disbelief. So we're flying over tomorrow night and staying the whole week. I'm going to do my radio show and be over there. I love London. We took the boys over once already, and I'm excited to go to Titans Chargers and see a game in Wembley and just have a good time over in England. I'm also excited. My radio show is 11 to 2 British time, which is honestly makes me think I should move to England so I don't have to at 4 a.m. every morning. It's going to be great to just go to bed and be able to wake up at a normal time and do my radio show.
I love the idea of you developing a British accent, like Mel Gibson lost his Australian accent. Like he worked in the States for so long, he no longer has an accent. I'd like for you to just blend in with the British people over there and develop an accent.
I hate getting up in the morning early so much, like when my alarm goes off at like 4:15 or 4:20 in the morning, that I have really legitimately sat around and thought, like, are there places I could relocate to continue to do my morning show? Because I do like doing the show. but I hate every minute when my alarm goes off at that time and just be like in a normal time zone. It's tough to do East Coast morning radio from the central time zone. So I could just move to the East Coast or like just make my house always on East Coast time, which is one of the ideas that I've had, is just to make my house stick on East Coast time and just to make that our daily existence. But being in England, I'm like seeing that 11-2. I'm like, man, this doesn't seem like it would be awful.
That's an amazing idea.
What would the difference be if you were on East Coast time? I mean, everything would be the same.
No, I disagree. I mean, I think it feels a lot different to wake up at 5:15 or 5:20 to be in the East Coast. And I will say this:
you're mind gaming yourself.
When I do the show in like New York City or have traveled around on the East Coast to do it, the sun's up for one thing. Like, it doesn't feel that weird when the sun is up in New York City to be walking out and going to go to work, like a lot of other people are. When I get up in the morning in Nashville, there is nobody else up. Like, even the newspaper hasn't arrived at my front doorstep yet. It's pitch black. That's the other thing that's tough about waking up that early. When you wake up at 4:15 or 4:20, like, first of all, other than your alarm going off, you have no idea what time of night it could be, right? I mean, it could be midnight. It could be 2 a.m. It's pitch black. And especially here where the time zones are such that, it's dark for like the whole first 2 hours of my show. So, which is on, by the way, from 5 to 6. I know there are other people up because I've been out in the roads driving to and from my studio and stuff, but there ain't that many people on the road at 4:20 in the morning. I can tell you that much.
Dude, you've seen the Seinfeld episode. You would start missing meetings. You would be an hour early or an hour late to games. Like, I want you to do this just so that you could then
write a massive
article about the chaos that ensues by you being off by an hour.
Clay,
on everything.
I think we just gave you your next book idea.
It is. I mean, it's something that I talked about, like, even before the hurricane hit Puerto Rico. They're on the Atlantic time zone for half the year. And I was like, you know what? I'd be on 7 to 10 in the morning if I were in the Atlantic time zone. Like, that doesn't even seem that bad at all.
You're huge in Puerto Rico.
Huge.
Clay, so we're going to London, obviously. A lot of Titans fans are going over there. You've been before. Give us the one pro tip for someone who's been to London of a tour, something touristy that everyone needs to do when they go over there.
Well, you're a history buff like me, Withrow. So
yes.
I think the Tower of London, which is the palace right
there. It's the one thing that I've booked so far is a tour of the Tower of London.
It is absolutely incredible, the Tower of London, to walk through there. I mean, you can spend an entire day on a tour at the Tower of London, and there are so many like little cool nuances and details that I think are awesome. One thing we're doing this year that we didn't get to do before is they have a reconstruction of the Globe Theater, which is where Shakespeare put his productions on. I mean, they basically have reconstructed it in the exact same location on the other side of the River Thames there. And so we're going to go see a play there, which is supposedly really cool to do. And I'm pretty excited about that. I think that, certainly you need to see Westminster Abbey. Westminster Abbey is awe-inspiring to be able to walk through it and just think about how long it has been there. If you've never been to Europe before, one of the things you learn very rapidly is how new we really are, right? I mean, they call America the new world because historically we are really new, right? I mean, the things that we think are old are not very old. You know, they have the same chair that they've been coronating kings on there since like 1100 or 1200, like we think of the pilgrims coming here and certainly of our Constitution and like the Declaration of Independence as being like new. And there are so many things that are so much more old and ancient in Europe that will just kind of blow your mind. So I think Westminster Abbey and the Tower of London are the two things I would say you have to do. If you have kids, the Millennium, like the big Ferris wheel that is right there on the other side of the bank. My kids love the Ferris wheel, and we're actually going, they have a Legoland outside of London. And so one day we're taking our kids to the British Legoland, which I'm told is also really good. If you get outside of the London area, Windsor Castle is incredible. Last year, or I guess it was a year and a half ago, we got to go to Wimbledon. Obviously, that's not going on right now. But Wimbledon is one of the coolest sporting events I have ever had the good fortune to go to. And it's pretty awesome to be able to go see that. Oxford and Cambridge, Stratford-upon-Avon, all of those areas. And if you're over there longer, Scotland is phenomenal. Scotland is really amazing if you get the opportunity to go up there.
Clay, with Jeremy Pruitt, and we've talked about this before and how you can't really tell a lot with a college football coach until year two, and you start to really see some tangible wins and losses, signs, if the coach is good or bad. But with Jeremy Pruitt in this first year, it's dangerous to just look into wins and losses, but what do you want to see from him moving forward now? They play Auburn tomorrow. They're 2-3 right now. This team is not going to win many more games the rest of the way. But watching this team play, if you're a Tennessee fan, what ultimately do you want to see from Jeremy Pruitt and this team as they start to move into October and November?
Well, I think Tennessee can take this game into the second half against Auburn. So first of all, I would like to see, coming out of a bye week, 2 weeks for everybody to get healthy, given the fact that Auburn's not playing very well offensively for sure, that this game is an 11 a.m. Central, that awful, I'm still hungover, I can't believe they're playing football already, kick time in SEC games. I don't expect that Auburn, having basically been eliminated from the SEC West and from the SEC race, is really going to be playing with a great deal of vim, vigor, and guile. So I would think, in general, that after 2 weeks to get ready for this game, Tennessee should come out and be pretty competitive against Auburn, specifically in the first half, and I think in the second half this should be a game. I'd like to see Jeremy Pruitt take it into the fourth quarter. I don't think there's anything you can learn one way or the other against Alabama, take it off the map. I do think that Tennessee can be competitive against Missouri, Vanderbilt, and certainly Kentucky. And so I would like to see Auburn be a competitive game. Just Alabama's on the scrap heap of oblivion. It's going to be a disaster, a bonfire of epic proportions. Don't worry about that one. And then in the final four of the season, I think Tennessee should be competitive and or go 2-2 or better in those final four. I think that's a reasonable goal in the final four. And certainly I think Auburn, I would like to see it be a game going into the fourth quarter.
Clay, what's the bet you're going to make on Saturday that you feel like you've already won?
Central Florida -4.5 against Memphis in Memphis. That game's on ABC, I think. I love that game. I bet on Tennessee. I took the, I bet on a lot of different games, but the one that I love the most of all the bets that I've placed so far is Central Florida -4.5. I think they're going to beat Memphis by double digits.
Clay, didn't Tennessee, wasn't it like a 20-point line to open and it shifted to 15? It's a pretty big swing.
Yeah, it opened. I'm always unclear exactly because the offshores open a bunch of different places, but Auburn opened around 19 or 20 as a favorite, and the line has come all the way down. I don't have it in front of me right now, and I haven't checked in the last couple of hours, but I believe it's around 15 or 15.5 right now. I think there's a lot of people who have watched this Auburn offense and have said, look, they scored 24 points on Southern Miss. They scored 9 last week on Mississippi State. They scored 31 on Arkansas, but Arkansas's defense is atrocious. Really, they haven't scored very many points on very many teams so far this season. So I like the under, and I also, like I said, I mean, I think if Tennessee just kind of keeps the game plan simple, does not try to reinvent the wheel, and can avoid turning the ball over, I mean, I think this is a game that Auburn should win, I don't know, 21-13, 21-10, something like that. I don't think this is a game where Tennessee should be blown out of the building from the moment it starts. And look, if they got a couple of turnovers or something like that, I think Tennessee could be in a position potentially to contend to win down the stretch.
Clay Travis joins us every Friday, presented by thehomeloanexpert.com. Clay, thank you as always, man. We'll catch up next week.
Yeah, I'll see you in London.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see you there.
We'll be over there. See you over there.
Safe travel. Tally ho, boys.
Cheers. Clay Travis, outkick the coverage.
Clay moving to Eastern time zone in his home alone.
That would fail miserably. I mean, it'd be great for the radio show part, for everything else. He would be an hour early, an hour late for everything.